firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say?
In the first century, when the Roman government sent spies into the early church to find out more about them, they came back with a report that these Christians were very strange. The spies said they really love Jesus, and they really love one another. Well, if spies were sent into your church, would they say the same? Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, and one thing that we're learning in our five-year study is that God's Word should change the way we live. And though the world may think it's strange, a diligent and sincere study of God's Word will produce believers who love one another and truly love the Lord. We'll learn more about this today as our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, takes us to the 13th chapter of John, beginning at verse 17. Now, yesterday we told you that recently on Through the Bible's Facebook page, we asked this question. If you had to pick just one thing that you've learned on the Bible bus, what would it be? Well, the answers we shared yesterday were so wonderful, so let's hear a few more today. A listener named Deborah. I learned that I'm a sinner, but my debt was paid by Jesus, and through his sacrifice I can have eternal life. It's the gospel, and it really is good news. Isn't that great? You know, there really is no better lesson. And then here's a post. This is from Meredith. I've learned that God loves me always and forever, even when I don't love myself. And then a listener named Valerie tells us that she can't name just one, so she listed three main things that she's learned. Number one, don't let what you don't know get in the way of what you do know. Number two, when a farmer prays for a crop, God expects him to say amen with a hoe. And number three, Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. And then finally, Linda tells us that she's learned three things as well. Christianity is a person, not a religion. Salvation is a love story. And if you earned it, you can lose it. Well, thank you to these women and all those who posted on our Facebook page. It's always a joy to read your responses. And what about you? How would you answer that question? Here it is again. If you had to pick just one thing that you've learned on the Bible bus, what would it be? Why don't you post your answers on our Facebook page or email your thoughts to BibleBus@ttb.org or call and leave a message on our listener testimony line at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Remember, it's such an encouragement to hear from you, so please get in touch today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we celebrate your grace shown to those who have come to know you better through our studies. Now, as we study your word today, Lord, we pray that many more will come into a real and eternal relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, last time we saw that in the upper room, the Lord Jesus began by washing the disciples' feet. They're to have fellowship with him. And Peter said to him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. This means that you as a believer cannot have part with him until you deal with the sin that is in your life. And you deal with it when you look at it in the light of the Word of God. And to have part with him means, very frankly, friends, it means to have fellowship with him. Now, somebody wants to know, is that what it literally means? Well, notice what he said to Mary and Martha, and he was speaking actually to Martha. He said, Mary hath chosen that good part. Well, that good part that Mary chose was to sit at Jesus' feet. And I think that you have that mentioned in 2 Corinthians 6:15. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? That is fellowship. And you can't have fellowship with him until he takes your feet into his hands. Now, feet speak of our walk down here, and our feet must be in his hands, and that simply means that we must completely yield to him. This idea today that this business of confession of sin is a pretty insignificant thing is entirely wrong. If we confess our sins, means that you go and you put your feet in his hands for him to cleanse and for him to wash. And he's still in the business of washing feet. Now, somebody is going to say, well, what does it really mean to be washed by the Word of God? You mentioned that last time. Well, will you listen to what he says in Psalm 139, 23, and 24? You and I need to go to him. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And my friend, you and I today need to recognize that we're sinners and that we need to be cleansed. Which one of you that can say today, well, I have no sin in my life? I doubt whether there's anyone that can say that. Now, this man, Simon Peter, was very impulsive. You remember, he said, now, I want you to wash my hands and my head. He goes to the opposite extreme. This man, he was warm-hearted, but he was certainly dull-minded. He didn't quite get all this. And our Lord made it clear to him that when you come to him for salvation, that you're cleansed and all you need is to have your feet washed, because that is a washing that comes when you and I sin. And there's not a one of us that can go through one day and live without sin. And we need to pray, Lord, forgive us our trespasses. And we hear a great deal today about that we need to recognize that we need to be cleansed. And he says, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. And friends, that means to go to him in confession. And if you're his child, it means that you're putting your feet in his hands. And that means you're completely yielding to him. That's what it means to confess your sins. And that is something that's desperately needed today. Now, will you notice that immediately having given this, he continues now, and notice what he says. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And that's Psalm 41:9 that he's quoting here. Now, this is something that we need to note here. He's referring to Judas, and not only is he referring to Judas, it's not a question of this man losing his spiritual life, but it rather reveals that he never had any spiritual life. That's the fact. He's not a sheep of Christ becoming unclean, but he happens to be a pig that's returned to its wallowing again, or the dog that's returned to his vomit. That's the picture of Judas Iscariot here. And yet he was there in the upper room, and this man, very frankly, he got his feet washed here. But you see, the washing was the washing by the Word of God, and he rejected that totally. Actually, the blood of Christ is Godward, and the water points manward. The blood is for the expiation of our sin, and the water is for our moral purification. And the precious blood, you hear this said today, oh, the blood is applied to my heart. My friend, it's not applied to your heart. It's canceled my guilt. That's what's happened. And it has washed out that awful black account which was against me on high. And it's given me a standing before God. And it's blotted out my transgressions. And therefore, they are not against me today. And the blood is for penal expiation, but the water is for moral purification. Now, will you notice here this man as he comes, and I want to read this passage here. I'm reading beginning at verse 19. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. And this is something, by the way, Judas was not present. I think this makes it clear for the institution of the Lord's Supper. We don't even have that given in the Gospel of John. And we mentioned last time that there's no transfiguration in John's Gospel, and there's no institution of the Lord's Supper. And it's the evident fact God didn't want this to become a ceremony and a ritual, and people thinking if they just go through it that it's meaningful. Now, he's giving us, John's giving us the record of this last discourse, and he's emphasizing that. Now, he identifies who he's talking about. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth, whomsoever I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Judas has totally rejected Jesus Christ. Now, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spoke. This man, Judas, had been so clever that not a person there believed that he was the one. Each one thought might be the other, and fact of the matter is they could ask, is it I? The question is often asked, did Judas partake of the Lord's Supper? Of course not, because it's not even recorded here in John's Gospel. Well, you notice, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, and we believe that, of course, is John. And notice here, Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. Now, this byplay, I do not think, was observed or noted by the others, but we need to note it, or there'll be a certain amount of confusion here. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is, to whom I shall give a sop when I've dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now, you see, Judas here stood at the crossroads. This is his last chance. And the sop was sort of like a toast. It was a token of friendship. It's, as it were, Christ kept the door open to Judas up to the very last. And we're going to see that later. But you remember that when he even came out with the soldiers to arrest Jesus, he made the statement at that time, that is, the Lord Jesus did to him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Even to the very last, the door was kept open. And it's as it were, the Lord is saying, you fulfill prophecy, and it's not too late for you, Judas, to accept me. And the Lord Jesus is just keeping the door open even here. Now, he knew what Judas would do. May I repeat the statement of another here? Foreknowledge is not causation. That is, because the Lord knew it doesn't mean he forced him to do it. Now, will you notice? And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. And he made the decision. God never sent a man to hell who did not first of all send himself there. You see, God ratifies human decisions. God just seconds the motion. When a man says, I make a motion, I accept Christ, God says, I second it, I receive you. When a man says, I reject Christ, as this man did, why, God says, I second the motion. That's exactly what you have. Now, Judas must move hurriedly. You see, having made his decision, he's not beyond the control of God. He's compelled to cooperate with God, having made this decision. In other words, even the religious rulers didn't want to arrest him and to crucify him during the feast. They wanted to wait till it's over. Our Lord says, you'll have to move quickly. And so this man actually went out. He went out to let them know that he'd been found out. And notice what is said here, which is quite interesting. Verse 28, now no man at the table knew for what intent He spake this unto him. No one at the table even suspected up to that time that Judas was the betrayer. Now will you notice verse 29? For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, he was the treasurer. And you always got to watch, friends, the fellas that handle the money. And that's true in church work. You keep your eye on the deacons, by the way. They handle the money. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. And at Passover season, they did that, you know. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and notice, it was night. And friends, it was eternal night for Judas. It was the devil's day, and the devil's day is Egyptian darkness for any man. That's the reason that they have to have so many lights on Broadway and Hollywood Boulevard, because on the devil's way, you gotta light it up, friends, because it's dark. Eternal night, the man walked out into. Now, will you notice there's something else here, a new section now. Judas is gone, and our Lord now begins to talk to this man. And already at this time, sin is knocking at the door of the upper room, demanding its pound of flesh. Already the shadow of the cross has fallen over that little group in the upper room, and they're frightened. And now our Lord attempts to lift these men from the low plane to the high plane, from the here and now to the hereafter, from the material to the eternal, from that which is secular to that which is spiritual. And as he does, we're going to see he's interrupted, and that'll move us right into chapter 14. Actually, I think that chapter 14 begins right here. Now, will you notice verse 31? Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. You see, the Lord Jesus now is moving into the spiritual realm. The Son of Man's going to be glorified, and Christ was glorified, friends, in his death and resurrection. We need to recognize that. Now, if God be glorified him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Now, he speaks to them, and he calls them little children. Listen to him. Yet a little while I'm with you, ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, he's saying to them, and he's speaking to them like little children. He says, I'm going to leave you. But now that I'm going to leave you, I'm leaving you a new commandment. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Unfortunate, we have some folk today that think that what he really meant is this, that by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you're fundamental in the faith. Now, friends, I believe in being fundamental in the faith. I believe in the inerrancy of the Word of God. I believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of the Scriptures. I believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. I believe that he died on the cross for the expiation of sin, that he died a substitutionary, vicarious death for the sins of the world, that he was raised bodily, that he ascended back into heaven, that he's coming personally someday to take his church out of the world. But I want to say this, and I want to say it very carefully. Believing those things don't convince the unsaved world outside. This idea today that if we're fundamental and if we believe the heavenly things, we can live like the devil down here, and we've got some in the church. They're mean. Oh, they're mean. They're gossipy. They're hateful. and they have evil in their hearts. May I say to you, friends, that's the reason the man on the outside's quit coming to church. It's the reason we're trying to go after him today and tell him that these folk that act like that are not really believers. I don't think they are. I've asked pastors all across this country, what percentage do they think of their church members are saved? And I get anywhere from 25 to 75%. And I would say today that even in our good churches, you can only say 50% of them are actually saved. The others are as phony as a $3 bill. May I say to you, he says that he's going to leave. And the new commandment is that you love one another as I've loved you, that ye also love one another. And it's by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Remember, Tertullian says this, that the Roman government was disturbed about the church. They were growing by leaps and bounds, and they wouldn't even take a pinch of incense and put it before the image of the emperor, and they felt like they might be disloyal. And the spies went in and came back out, and this was the report they gave. It went something like this. These Christians are very strange people. They meet together in an empty room to worship. They do not have an image. They speak of one by the name of Jesus, who's absent, by the way, but they seem to be expecting him at any time. And my, how they love him and how they love one another. Now, if next Sunday spies came from Russia to see whether Christianity is genuine and they came to your church, friends, what would be the verdict? Would they go back and say, my, how these Christians love each other? Well, you answered, I can't for you. Now, Simon Peter heard our Lord talk about going away, but that's all he heard. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Now, this is verse 36, by the way. Simon Peter, our Lord treated him as if he's juvenile. I personally believe this man never reached the age of mental and spiritual maturation until the day of Pentecost. In fact, I think he was rather childish again and again, always blundering. And he asked the question that only a child will ask. Where are you going? Now, he didn't hear anything about loving one another, but he heard a great deal about the fact he's going away. I remember years ago when my daughter was just a little girl. Why, when I get ready to go on a trip, she'd always say, Daddy, where are you going? That's the first question. And then the second question that a child asks is, may I go with you? I want to go with you. And that's what my little girl would say. And the Lord Jesus treats him as you treat a child. He says, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Now, not now, but afterwards. Now, little Willie comes home from school. His mama's baked some cookies, and he said, Mama, can I have a cookie? She says, not now, but after dinner. Now, little Willie doesn't care about after-dinner speeches, and he doesn't care about after-dinner cookies, but he wants them right now. And listen to Simon Peter. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? You see, he seized on that word, the word that a child would seize on. And he says, I lay down my life for thy sake. And that man was honest when he said that. He was sincere. He meant every word of it. And that night he got a sword. He used it. He attempted to fight for his Lord that night. Oh, he only took off an ear, but that was because he was a fisherman and not a soldier. He really went after the other fellow's neck, but he only got his ear. But he was sincere when he said that. Now, Lord told him the frightful thing, that night he was to deny him. And then he gave him the first part of John 14. And we'll have to save that, friends, until next time.
It's amazing how these studies in John speak to us today. If you have a friend or family member that you'd like to invite along for the journey, have them visit us at ttb.org. From radio station lists to downloads, mobile device apps to podcasts and more, TTB.org has it all. TTB.org is also the place to visit if you're looking for a resource, maybe to help you dig deeper in your own personal study of God's Word. Or call 1-800-65-BIBLE if we can help you find the right resource for you. Now, as you know, our mission here at Through the Bible is to take the whole Word to the whole world. And that's why we broadcast in more than 100 languages and dialects around the world. So if you'd like to know more about how you can partner with us in this amazing opportunity, please visit us at ttb.org/pray. And to partner with you as you reach out to those in your world, we've teamed up with a ministry called Faith Comes by Hearing to offer you a link to God's written word in more than 1,200 languages. To find out more about this free resource, go to the resources section at ttb.org and click on Bible in Your Language. And be sure to join us tomorrow as our journey through the Bible continues right here.
To thee my own. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.